हरिः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
ओके Then Tattva Sundarbha, Adhyayana 3, Adhikarana 3, Understanding the Ten Topics of Srimad Bhagavatam. Anucheda 62, page 76. Ten topics are described. From the agitation of the original modes within the unmanifest material nature, Mahatattva arises. From the Mahatattva comes the element false ego, which divides into three aspects. The threefold false ego further manifests as the tanmatras, senses and gross elements. The generation of all these is called the primary creation. Srimad Bhagavatam 12.7.11. Then Jiva Goswami points out, from the agitation of the gunas of pradhan, mahatattva arises. From that, the three types of ahankar arise. From that arise the sense objects or tanmatras, bhutamatra, the senses, indriya, and the elements are natam. The devatas of the senses are also indicated by this. This creation, Sambhava, is called Sarga, or Karana Srishti. So, we see is that the central point in here is the modes, and they're a manifestation of the three, the false ego. Right? So this element of not understanding something means the Ajnana Shakti, and then its form of false ego that then develops in the three phases, according to goodness, passion, ignorance, that's actually how the creation is made. So the creation is based on false ego. Right? It's based on false identity. So does that make sense? Because real identity then means that you have to have the understanding, I'm servant of Krishna. So that means the primary element of Krishna, a service to Krishna, has to be the prominent. But when we take on the misdirection of thinking that the knowledge and items and situations, the activities, the results that we gain, that becomes the identity. Right? Then that's a problem. Like, let's say somebody is good at medicine and they practice medicine as an occupation. What's their identity?
Doctor.
Right? But does that have anything to do with the soul? You understand? This is how it goes. The false ego means it takes you that way. Means one is a devotee, and by one's nature, one's conditioning in here, then you perform particular occupations in service to Krishna. So it's as servant of Krishna, then okay, what kind of service can you render? Depends on your facility. So what's the gross and subtle body? Depending on that, so in this case, then it's that of medicine. So then you can practice medicine for Krishna. You understand? Different approach. So we see as the material nature, and the other way, just saying that there is a doctor, everyone will say, because everything's based on this false ego. So we don't even see past that. So that's the first thing. The primary creation, that's what's happening. So when you see this, then you start to see, these are based on the principles of Krishna, but this is your metaphysical. This is where you can connect, always find Krishna. Of course, people can understand the metaphysical and not understand Krishna. That's also quite easy to do. Right? Does that make sense? So, the crux is that if we understand that we're not the body, we're the soul, and the identity is that of servant of Krishna, then we see as we that's how you overcome the material energy. Does that make sense? It's that simple. You just have to be able to always consistently apply it. That's why we had the philosophy, association, the activities, everything like that.
The beautiful example of this is the prayers of Queen Kunti. She says, first, my family members, they're your devotees. And then, secondary, they're my family members, they're my relatives.
Yes, yes, very nice, very nice. See, so it's not that it's not included. That's the point. Bhakti includes these things. But if we deal with these things directly, means the secondary, it doesn't include the primary. Right? Krishna is the primary. He is everything. So if you have Krishna, you have everything. But if you just take the Brahman and Paramatma elements without Bhagavan, Bhagavan's separate. Does that make sense? That's the whole point, is that it has to be very clear. Okay, yes.
And the original one is that in danger of the controller, that's why...
That's, yes, because that's... Yes, because that's the basis of anything. So as a doctor, you'll be controller and enjoyer. As a lawyer, you'll be controller and enjoyer. As a business person, controller... It just doesn't matter. Whatever it is, it's through that medium you'll be the controller and enjoyer. Even if you're just a regular guy off the street, you still, that's how you'll control and enjoy. Right? Does that make sense? You know, so it'll always be seen in that identity. Oh, we're just ordinary people. We don't get involved in all this kind of stuff like that. We can just, you know, enjoy ourselves and all that, you know? Yes.
Our self-identification with Krishna will be always based on our material state, like I'm...
No, no, it won't, the identity won't be based, the service will be based. The identity is always, I'm serving the Krishna. Yesterday what we were discussing was that we don't have to get into detail of what is our service in the spiritual world. We just have to know it's service, because if you don't have a service attitude, it doesn't matter what the detail is. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like you have a kid, and he has a car, right? Just by, you know, just he's in the family, so this is his car, even though he's only 8 years old. But until he gets, you know, old enough to drive it and knows the technique of driving it, he can't drive the car, even though it's his. You understand? So the point is, what's the most important thing? To always be thinking how it's my car and how I'm going to do this and how I'm going to do that? You can do that all day, but that doesn't mean you'll get a license or know how to drive. So you have to actually develop the service attitude. Then that can be applied driving the car. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah, so if you don't know the basis, what's the point of the detail? You know, if I don't know cooking, does that mean now I know some fine points of cooking? You know what I'm saying? That's the whole thing. We're always quick to jump into the detail because that's all we deal with. But that makes the difference between the material and the spiritual. The spiritual is based on the primary, or Krishna. And the material is based on the secondary, or those things supporting service to Krishna. But since we don't see Krishna, then we see it separate from Krishna, it no longer is devotional service. So in other words, material consciousness is seeing all the facilities for serving Krishna not connected to Krishna. That's material consciousness. So it's the same thing. Right? The same activities, same facilities, same activities. But it becomes mundane because of the consciousness. That's how you can be in the spiritual world and be a materialist. You know, people say, oh no, it's not possible. It's very possible. Because you have to understand is that seeing the facilities of the spiritual world connected to Krishna, that's devotional. Seeing the facilities in the spiritual world not connected to Krishna, that's material. You're already in the material world. So material is consciousness, not location. Right? And so those with material consciousness, they do better here. Those with spiritual consciousness do better there. Right? But if you can't combine the two, then how is it the acharyas who have spiritual consciousness, how do they function here? Does that make sense? And we see is that you also have the aspect is that you can't have something coming from outside. Right? means you have the spiritual nature, and so therefore within that spiritual nature, that's control, right? But you change consciousness, and then you're functioning in the extension of the internal potency, because the internal potency, Yogamaya, transforms into the material. So then you're just functioning within Yogamaya's external feature as Mahamaya. Understand? So they both stay. It's not like the impersonalist where you have Brahman and then it becomes covered by ignorance. Right? Because it's something from outside coming and covering. No, it's just a matter of how you're dealing with the Surup Shakti. You understand?
Yeah. Well, yesterday also telling that false ego is also dead matter.
Yes.
So how like this desire to be controlled and enjoyed, it's like consciousness. How that is also dead matter. It's quite.
But what do you want to control and enjoy?
Material facilities.
Yeah. So and that is
dead matter.
Yes. So that's the whole point. Is we take it that. The primary, or that in the relationships there, aren't the prominent, and we get into the secondary, the facilities that we use to express the relationship, and so we take those as main, right? And so that means we're seeing the facilities without the personal aspect, so we're just seeing the impersonal. So everybody's cool dealing in that. So I, as an individual, I'm working in the impersonal. So everybody else who agrees with that and cooperates with that, then they're nice. But it's still, they just fit into the impersonal. Either they're the people that help, or they're the people who are getting in the way. Right? And if it's a little more intense, you have a little bit more of a personal relationship. Understand? But it's not actually very deep. Right? It's based on the identity with the body and the interaction with the body, so it's not between the souls. Souls are experiencing it, but it's not about. You know, it's just like I said, you have two people, two gamers, they're sitting in two different continents, but they're playing the same game, right? And they're engaging with each other, okay? So, they're attached to their, you know, whoever, what do you call those things in the game, who they are?
Avatar,
okay. Well, they do use that, okay. So, you're attached to your avatar, and you're winning or losing or this or that. And the other person is attached to theirs. And you interact. But at what point are these two different people interacting? Never. You understand? So that's the whole thing, is the souls aren't interacting. They're interacting with their body, with the bodies are interacting. You understand? So that's why when you identify as a devotee, now the soul, they can be interacting through the medium of the body. It's different. It looks the same, because interaction is interaction. Does that make sense? It's not that, you know, people pick things up and eat like this, but devotees eat like this or something. No, it's the same. It's the same thing. That's why we say it's like the mirror. It's the same. It's just in the mirror you don't get any substance from it. Why? Because it's not between living entities. It's the body. So what nourishment's there for the soul? Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. The aggregate, the total, and jiva and individual jivas, which is effect of all previous mentioned elements, which have been favored by the Lord, which are predominated by impressions of sin and piety, is called visarga. Right? This is the secondary creation. It consists of all moving and non-moving beings who constitute. Continue like a seed producing a seed. Okay, so now Jiva Goswami explains the aggregate, samharaha, of Mahatattva and other elements, ete sham, objects of mercy of Paramatma, purushang, purushanu grihitanam, filled with impressions of previous karmas of the jiva. Vasana, maya, is called visarga. It is continuous flow of living beings, moving and non-moving, which are like seeds which produce more seeds. They're in a position, they already have their impressions. By acting within that, you produce more impressions. So that's all you're doing, is just going from one impression, creating new impressions, making combinations of these impressions. So that's all that's happening.
Mark? I'm clear. According to this description, is it true that both sarga and visarga happens within the material world?
No, the sarga is outside, mm-hmm. in the Mahatattva. I mean, it's all happening within the one quarter pada of the spiritual, cosmos. So it's all happening in there. But the primary creation is happening outside the universes. Right? And then that enters each universe and that controlled by with Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. So he is in that way the universal form. But then it has to be controlled and run and according to each individual and their situations and their impressions of previous karma, of pious and impious. So that Paramatma is doing. In that way he's the universal form. Because then what part of the universal form you're with is controlled by him. But the whole universal form that it functions is controlled by Garbhodakshaya. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So the thing is that objects of mercy of Paramatma. So all these things, this Paramatma, very kindly, he's allowing them to all function in the context of the jiva's impressions. The jiva wants things to go in a particular way. If they have the karma, it'll go that way. If they don't have the karma, they'll get however much they're supposed to get. So that's Krishna's mercy, as Paramatma. Right? So we see here is that the first one, it's all coming from Mahavishnu, and the second one then you see is the arrangements are Garbhodakshaya, and then the specifics that mercy is coming through, Kiradakshaya Vishnu, the Paramatma. Right? So it's all about the Lord. That's the uniqueness of the Bhagavatam, is that it will describe all these levels connected to the Lord. While others will just, they don't necessarily, and in some you see these other systems, other than the Vaishnava systems, they just leave the Lord out completely. And then it gets really muddled up. Because they kind of get up to Pradhan and then it kind of falls apart. Then next verse, from 12:7-13. Riti means the process of sustenance, by which moving beings live upon the non-moving beings. For a human, vritti specifically means acting for one's livelihood in a manner suited to his personal nature, either by desire, comma, or according to regulation, chodana. So then, Acharya's comments. Generally, non-moving entities, acharani bhutani, are sustenance for the moving beings, charanam bhutanam. The word cha indicates that the moving beings also eat other moving beings out of lust. For humans, there is regulated livelihood according to one's nature, svena, out of desire or rules. That is called vritti, or sustenance. This is substituted for sthana, or sthiti, in the first list. Right, so in other words, where you fit into the system, right? It doesn't mention varnashram because it's according to your nature. If your nature is one that you're able to be regulated and function as a human, then it's called varnashram. If it's simply out of desire, it will have the same form, but not very scientific, because everybody's working out of desire rather than regulation. Varnashram works because everyone's working from regulation. Right? And as soon as you stop working from regulation, then everybody acts according to their desire. Now, you can only act within the context of the mechanics that are allowed by Varnashram. But it can become unscientific. Does that make sense? Like that. Like business, the business community running the hospitals. Right? They're supposed to give a charity to the hospitals, but they make money from the hospitals. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And then, because they're making money from the hospitals, they make lots of money, people can't pay. Right? Because the Brahmins are doing it, it'll just be, just enough to kind of maintain the whole system. But if it becomes a business, you need more. So people can't pay. So now what's the solution? Well, you have insurance. And then, now you make money off of the insurance. Right? So it says double. Then you get, does that make sense? So like this, it's still within Varnashram. But it's not scientific. So we don't call it Varnashram. Does that make sense? Yeah. Because you still have businessmen, and you still have Brahminical occupation of medicine. Right? Because you generally see is they still have the doctors do all that work. Because why should you do all that work? You just have to collect, you know, or make the arrangements and collect the money. So, does that make sense? Yeah. You know, it's like that. You know, it's like the landlord. You just pay, take the rent. They want the wall painted. They do it. You know, why you'll do it. Okay. So, yes. And so then he's saying generally the moving beings, they eat the non-moving. Right? So then the living entities, humans, are supposed to eat those that are non-moving. That doesn't mean that the cow is just sitting there and not moving. It means that we mean like a potato or something. That's non-moving. Does that make sense? Okay, Srila Prabhupada elaborates as follows. Exploitation of the weaker living entity by the stronger is the natural law of existence. There is always an attempt to devour the weaker in different kingdoms of living beings. There is no possibility of checking this tendency by any artificial means under material conditions. It can be checked only by awakening the spiritual sense of the human being by practice of spiritual regulations. So people will try to regulate this, right? You see all the modern isms, the political positions, the social positions, you know, the different philanthropic, altruistic, they're all taken that this is going to check the imbalance in human society. But as pointed out in the Bhagavatam, only devotional service, only by having proper knowledge of your position as servant of the Lord, right, and his position, then only you can check this. Otherwise you can't. Because we say, okay, no, we can do it. Where in history has it been done? Where is it done? Because the whole point is as soon as you do something to make it nice, and then in that nicer situation, it's also nicer for people to exploit. Right? And then you have to do something to make that nicer, and then they'll exploit that. So it's just, it's not going to change unless you change consciousness. So? Okay. Then, next point. In each age, the infallible Lord's appearance in this world among the animals, human beings, sages, and devatas called protection of the universe. By these incarnations, he kills the enemies of Vedic culture. Srimad Bhagavatam 12.7.14. Then the Acharya comments, the enemies of the Vedas are killed by the avatars, Yahi. This is the topic, Ishanu Katha. The first line describes Poshanam, or protection. The previous verse explains Stana. Right? So he's just saying how everything's established, how everything's maintained. And now he sees how it's protected, right? Or it's nourished. And then it also has Ishanu Katha. So you see how these ones are combined here. Like that. Because the point is that in other ones, you keep them separate because the Lord is not involved. That's not your interest. But since God is there, there will be incarnations of the Lord, so then it has this category. What we see is the Lord is maintaining, he's protecting everything by his incarnations. That's why then the two come together. Right? That's what we saw. What was it? Yeah, there wasn't the... Yeah, so Sarga Visarga, Stanam, we call it Vriti here, Poshanam, Raksha, then Uti Hetu, Manvantar, Reina Manus, then Ishanu Katha, activities of the Lord's devotees, that considers Vamsa and Vamsanu Charita. So it means the Prajapatis and all the different species of life and all that kind of activities, and then the kings. Then the next verse, Manvantaram means the reign of Manu, during which six types of persons carry out specific duties. The ruling Manu, the Devatas, the sons of Manu, Indra, the great sages, and the incarnations of the Supreme Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam 12.7.15. That's why you see when they're describing these things in the 12th canto, they're giving who's doing what. Like that. Because those change. So the Acharya comments. Previously, Manvantara was defined as Sad-Dharma. The present verse explains Sad-Dharma by describing the conduct of Manu and others listed above. Thus, this verse is in agreement with the previous definition. So it's the same as the other list. So in other words, it's they're doing their specific duties like that. So it's the Sad-Dharma. What is the Dharma of everything? But it's Sad-Dharma because it's the Lord's arrangement. So everybody's following and performing duties according to the Lord's direction. Right? And as the last of them, the incarnation of the Supreme Lord, Manvantara Avatar. He sees that happens. Then, the next verse. Dynasties are lines of kings originating with Lord Brahma and extending continuously through past, present, and future. The activities of the prominent members constitute the subject of dynastic history. Srimad Bhagavatam 12.7.16. Then the Acharya comments. The activities of the kings in the dynastic lines is called Vamsyanu Charita. Charitam. Srila Baladeva Vidibhusha. The characteristics of Sarga are described in order. Trivrita modifies Mahataha. Srimad Bhagavatam 12.7.11. Satviki Rajasas Chaiva Tamasas Chad Trida Mahan. Mahatattva has three types: Sattva, Rajas, and Tamas. We just generally think of it as the three modes. But because it's transforming the false ego, right? Then the three modes means it's the mode in that particular ego. Right? It's false ego and goodness, false ego and passion, false ego and ignorance. And so we identify like that. So that's why the devotees aren't under the modes. When they stop identifying with the false ego, then they're not under the modes, because the modes are made out of false ego. Does that make sense? Right? So we have the false ego, that's your specific application. But the point is it's controlled by these three features of false ego that have goodness, passion, and ignorance. Does that make sense? Vishnu Purana 1.2.34. Purusha is Paramatma, situated within Brahma. Srimad Bhagavatam 12.7.12. The meaning of the other verses is clear. Right? That vritti. And it also here is that Vamsyanu Charitam. That it means he's starting here, is defining it as not just the kings, the sun and moon dynasty. It's the kings from Brahma all the way down. So that includes the Prajapatis. So that's why you see they go together in the second group. Okay.
Manus are not
Prajapatis? Manus, no. Swayambhuva happens to be, but the others, no. Riti. In this next Anucheda, Srila Jiva Goswami defines the remainder of the 10 items and includes Sri Tattva Sandarbha, concludes Sri Tattva Sandarbha by explaining their purpose. Anucheda 63. Naimitika prakritiko nitya atyantiko laya. Samsteti kavibhi proktas chaturdasa svabhavatam. The learned define samshta as destruction on four levels: occasional, elemental, continuous, and ultimate. Srimad Bhagavatam 12.7.17. Acharya comments, destruction is of four types from the shakti, svabhavanta, of the Lord, asya. Antyantika, or ultimate destruction, is the same as liberation, the ninth topic in the first list. Right, so it's already included within here. Right, because there in the other one you have a nirodha and then liberation. But within here, liberation means that so they're giving the three and then liberation. But actually it is the fourth, liberation is the fourth destruction. Okay. The cause of sarga, visarga of the universe is the jiva, whom some call sleeping and some call covered. Right? You know, so it's like when you sleep, you might have a blanket on or not. So, there's no blanket, you just call it sleeping. And if it's sleeping with a blanket, you call it covered. Even though he's sleeping. Srimad Bhagavatam 12.7.18. Acharya then comments, the cause of sarga of the universe, asya, is the jiva, because he performs actions out of ignorance. Right? So it's, the Lord is managing it. If he gives the ingredients, so yes, he's the creator. But why it's there? You understand? That's because of the jiva, the need of the jiva. Some call this cause yam, sleeping, in Mahavishnu. Because prominence of consciousness and others say jiva is invisible or covered because of prominence of upadis. Right. So depending on you want to bring out the consciousness, you'll say he's sleeping. Right? Because then it's a matter of that's deep sleep. You could bring it to the dream, to the waking. Right? Does that make sense? Or if you're talking about the prominence of the upadis, you know, he's the gross and subtle bodies and all those things that go with it, then you'll say he is covered. Because that's what you're bringing out. Does that make sense? So depending upon the verses, whether they're talking about the covered state or they're talking about the sleeping, it's just a matter of whether they're bringing out about the consciousness has been covered or how he's so absorbed in the external. You know, what is the covering? Right? Does that make sense? So if you're talking about the consciousness, sleeping. If you're talking about the coverings on the consciousness, you say covered. Vyatire kanu vayo yasya jagrat swapna shushuptishu maya mayeshu tad brahma jiva vritish vapashvayaha. That Brahman, which is present in all objects as its witness, in states of waking, dreaming, and deep sleep made of maya, but which is separate from them, is called apashvaya. Because it would be contrary to what Vyasa realized in Samadhi, the pure jiva cannot be described as the shelter in this verse by taking Brahman to mean the jiva. The meaning is this. In conditions of waking, dreaming, and deep sleep produced by Maya Shakti, and in all conditions of Maya composed of material elements like Mahatattva, Maya, Mayeshu, Brahman functioning separately, Vyatireka, as a pure Swarup, or in relationships, Anvaya, as the supreme witness, is the shelter for all situations of the jiva, functioning either in his pure Swarup or with upadis. Apashraya means the Lord is the shelter surpassing everything else. Apa means excluding, and thus means surpassing. Yeah. Because you're always going to have even the living entities functioning in these upadis. Where's the potency for that to function? Where does the upadi come from? Where does that commitment to that commitment to the identity? So it's always going to be the supreme. Right? But at the same time, it's the jiva who's acting in that capacity. So you're always going to have both of them. You won't have them separate. You won't have the jiva acting separate from Brahman. Right, and you won't have the Lord, how you say, involved in the management of this world without the jiva, because that's what it's for. It's for bringing the jiva back to Godhead. Does that make sense? Then, in two verses, the knowledge of the pure Sarupa, the jiva, Hetu, which arises by the manifestation of Apashraya, is explained. Just as earth is present in a pot and also exists outside the pot, the pure jiva exists in all states of the body from conception to death or exists without connection to the body. Srimad Bhagavatam 12.7.20 from the comment. Just as materials like earth, dravyam, exist whether present or not present, yutayutam, in pots or other objects, padarte shu, with names and forms since these can be perceived without the effect, pot. So the pure consciousness of the jiva, tanmatram, is joined to the body between birth and death in nine states of ignorance and is disunited from the body without effort. You don't have to worry about it. You did not have to make the arrangements for that Mack truck. So that means it's without. You're disunited from the body without effort. Right? Yeah. Understanding this nature of the pure jiva, a person becomes detached from the body and becomes qualified for searching out the apashraya. That is explained in the next verse. When the mind gives up the three states of waking, dreaming, and deep sleep by bhakti yoga and spontaneously enjoys the lotus feet of the Lord, At that time, he realizes the Lord and gives up all material desires. Srimad Bhagavatam 12.7.21. The Acharya then says, the mind giving up the three states of waking, dreaming, and deep sleep, Viti Trayam, becomes detached from matter, Vira Metta. It then realizes Paramatma, Atmanam, either spontaneously, Swayam, like Vamanadeva, seeing the Lord in various objects in the world, or by performance of Bhakti Yoga, Yogena, like Devahuti. Right? So either spontaneously, by seeing the objects, seeing the Lord in the various objects of the world, or by the performance of devotional service. The person gives up all actions, ihai yaha, other than cultivating love of Lord. Right? So, coming to that point, so the Apashraya is the Lord. He is the one who is beyond everything. He is the one who enters everything and makes everything function. The jiva can come to that platform, right? By realizing the Lord and always seeing the Lord. In that way, he is a shelter, but he's not the ultimate shelter.
There's different lists.
Yes.
They accepted by Vaishnava Charis or just in general? Like the 10 and 10?
It means that you have, yes, scholars will accept because the Puranas mean 5 and Mahapuranas means 10. That's standard. Mm. That's standard. But what they're going to take from it, that's another thing.
But the divisions would be the same? Just they
divisions
would
be
accept
the same.
That Ashraya would be the Lord?
They would accept that it may be the Lord, but the whole point is that they'll probably take it back if they're impersonalists back to Brahman. Yeah. Like that. And so then they'll bring the Lord within the material. So they'll have their ways to misinterpret. You know. Thus Sambandha has been indicated. Anucheta Prakashika. Here Jiva Goswami defines the last three topics: annihilation, samsta, cause, hetu, and the supreme shelter, apashraya. By concluding that the ashraya of everything is Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the author shows that he alone is the subject, Sambandha Tattva, of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So all the topics are about Krishna, right? Because when we see that we're talking about Sambandha Jnana, that means you're talking about the Sambandha Abhideya and Prayojana in its as Tattva, as knowledge. Understanding these, then one surrenders to the Lord and takes up activity, Abhideya, and comes to the platform of trying to please Krishna and developing love for Krishna. Right? So that means that the whole range of knowledge of Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana is within Sambandha. And so Krishna is Sambandha. He is the basis of everything. So, because sometimes, okay, well, he's in this position, he's in that position. No, he is position. That's the... Sarva Samvadini. Characteristics of destruction are discussed. Srimad Bhagavatam 12.7.17. These are described in the fourth chapter of the 12th canto. Srimad Bhagavatam 12.14.3-38. There is destruction after each manvantara, also as described in the Vishnu Dharmottara Purana. Vajra said, O Brahmana, filled with good qualities, you should describe the situation when the manvantara ends. Markandeya replies, when the manvantara ends, the devatas, free of sin, who rule the manvantara, approach Maharloka and stay there. O son of the Yadus, Manu, the devatas, along with Indra, go to Brahmaloka, which is rare for those who take repeated birth. The seven sages reside there at all times. All of them do not have the qualification of Brahma. Vajra. The great Lord in the form of water with great currents covers the whole earth. Everything on earth is destroyed, O Yadava. Only the great famous mountains are not destroyed. So they didn't get that right. They had the mountains being covered. But here it says, no, they don't. The great mountains, they don't get covered. Yeah, the great famous ones. You know, the ones we know by names, like Gandamandana and like this. So, somehow the K2 is not mentioned. K2 Kula Parvata means mountains like Mahendra and Malaya. All the moving and non-moving creatures of the universe are destroyed. O descendant of Yadu, the earth becomes a boat and holds all the seeds. The Lord, as a pastime, pulls the boat from place to place. All the sages praise the Lord of the universe, who never fails to perform attractive actions as he pulls the boats. Matsya circles around in the rough currents, pulling the whirling boat with unlimited prowess to a peak in the Himalayas. He binds the boat to the peak and disappears. The inhabitants of the boat remain there. The purification continues for a period equivalent to Satyuga. Then the water recedes and everything returns to the previous state. O King, the sages and Manu then perform all their duties. I have described to you the situation of the universe at the end of the Manvantara. O Lord of the Yadus, O King, now please say what else should be told to you in brief.
We said there are four kinds of destruction.
Yes.
And this one is which one?
The occasional.
Also, it's the first one.
Right?
Second one.
The first is continuous. Then first this is
occasional.
Then there's the end of the universe with Lord Brahma's life.
There's occasional, elemental, continuous, and infinite. That's how they called in the Anuttara universe.
Yes. Means the... What did you say the first one is?
Occasional.
And then?
Elemental, continuous, and infinite.
Okay, so occasional, that'll be the Manvantara. The elemental will be the end of the life of Brahma. It means everything goes back into the Lord. And then the continuous, that means that every moment everything's falling apart.
And ultimate is the...
Yeah, ultimate is going back to Godhead.
Occasional also means the end of the day of Brahma.
Yeah, end of the day of Brahma, end of the Manvantaras. He says occasional means end of the Manvantara, end of the day of Brahma. Sometimes you also see, though it doesn't seem to be a regular occurrence, so it's occasional, is sometimes after the four yugas, sometimes there's also some kind of destruction there. But it doesn't seem to be, it's always happening. At the end of the Manvantara, then there is, and at the end of the day of Brahma, there is. Yeah? The topic of destruction after every Manvantara is made clear in the Harivamsa commentary. Thus, in Bhagavatam, destruction is described after the fifth and sixth Manvantaras. Chakshushe, Tvantare, Pate, Praksarge, Kala, Vidrute, Yashashrarja, Paja, Ishta, Sadaksho, Daiva, Choditaha. He who inspired by the Lord created the desired progeny at the time of Chakshusha Manvantara, when the previous creation had been destroyed by time, is known as Daksha. Srimad Bhagavatam 4:30-49. Rupam sa jagrihe matsyam chakshusho dadhi samplave navyaropya mahi mayam apad vaivasvatam manum. Then there was an inundation after the period of the Chakshusha Manu. The Lord accepted the form of a fish and protected Vaivasvata Manu, placing him on a boat formed from the earth. Srimad Bhagavatam 1:3-15. In the Bharata Tatparya, Madhvacharya says, Manvantara halaye matsya rupena vidyam adan. Manave Deva Deva. At the destruction of the Manvantara, the Lord in the form of Matsya gave knowledge. But this same Markandeya, the foremost descendant of Bhrigu, took birth in my own family during the current day of Brahma. And we have not yet seen any total annihilation in this day of Brahma. Srimad Bhagavatam 12:8-3. This statement does not accept destruction during Brahma's day, and speaks of destruction at the end of the day in the previous verse. 12:8-2, since the future Manus remain even during the destruction at the end of the Manvantara.
So what is it?
So basically it's saying, he means in this one, that there was no destruction between the Manvantaras during the day of Brahma, so it's only at night then the destruction happened. At the same time, we see other places it describes it does. That's why it's occasional. One is it's not happening all the time, and it seems that sometimes they happen and sometimes they don't. The end of the day of Brahma, that definitely is that.
So it means like we know 14 manus in the day of Brahma?
Yeah, so it can be like that, but it doesn't have to be that there's 14 destructions. There might be one, because it mentioned here, Chakshusha, it happened. But it's talking about before Chakshusha, then Markandeya, because he's from, you know, he's Chiranjeev. So he said there hasn't been a destruction so far on this day. So it seems that would be before. So only after the sixth one, then it happened. So, you know, it seems to be, it can happen not. The Acharyas mentioned it. So it just depends on what's happening. Sorry?
Like the flood
can happen. Yeah, can happen. It may not happen. Okay. After the sixth Manvantara, the destruction was different from other destructions since the three worlds were inundated, right? All three. Because generally that only happens at the end of the day of Brahma. Normally it's only up to the earth, but here it seemed to be more. So that's why I then used the earth as a boat. In the eighth canto, Matsya says, Trilokyam Lilam Anayam Sam Vartam Basi Vai Tada Upastas Yati Nau Kachit Vishala Tvam Mayerita. When all the three worlds merge into the water, a large boat sent by me for you will appear. Srimad Bhagavatam 8.24.3. Yosav asmin mahakalpe tanayas sa vivasvata shradhadeva iti kyato manutve hari narpita. In this particular destruction, King Satyavrata later became the son of Vivasvan, the king of the sun planet, and was known as Shradhadeva. By the mercy of the Supreme Lord, he was given the post of Manu. Srimad Bhagavatam 8.24.11. So, yeah. So the main point is being given here is just, it's according to the Lord's will, whether there's destruction or not. But we see this one has a special uniqueness that it's so much more than the others, because then with Vaivasvata Manu, that's when Krishna will appear. Right? So once in a day of Brahma, it seems that then, you know, they have a little bit more of something happening. Asmin Mahakalpa means in this great destruction, since it refers to the special destruction at this time by the word Maha. According to Amar Kosha, Kalpa can mean pralaya. This destruction was like the destruction at the end of Brahma's day, since it covered the three worlds. At that time, Brahma rests in the navel of Vishnu for the length of Satyuga. It is said that it is the night of Brahma. Aham tvam rishibhi sardham sahanavam udanvati vikarshan vicharishyami yavad brahmi nisha prabho. Pulling the boat with you and all the sages in it, O king, I shall travel in the water of devastation until the night of Brahma is over. Because generally everything gets destroyed, but here, then the Manu and the sages, then they're all maintained. Otherwise, the main demigods and all that, they go up to the higher position, and all that. And you know, depending on their who they are and what you know what their piety is. When the three worlds are inundated, Deva and Asuras who have not concluded their period of enjoyment enter the boat. Matsya says to Satyavrata, Tvam tavad oshadhi sarva vijan yuchavachani cha saptarishi bhi pari vrita sarva satvo pabrib hita. Therefore, thereafter you should collect all types of herbs and seeds of higher and lower species, and accommodated by the seven sages, and surrounded by all kinds of living entities, you should get aboard that huge boat. Srimad Bhagavatam 8.24.34. Right, so. Since it is proved that there is destruction at the end of the Manvantara, it is classed as one of the four types of destruction. It is daily or naimitika, like the destruction at the end of Brahma's day. There are other sudden destructions also described, such as that of the beginning of creation during Swayambhuva Manu and during the sixth Manvantara when Hiranyaksha was killed. Both these inundations are merged in one story in the third canto, since the pastime is similar. Sometimes the events of the Padmakalpa and Brahmakalpa are also mixed. Footnote 31. Brahmakalpa is the first day in Brahma's life. Padmakalpa is the last day in the first half of Brahma's life. Right, so it kind of ends how it begins.
We finished the Padmakalpa and we are in Vetavara.
Oh, okay. So Padmakalpa is the last day. So we're in the first day of the second half. The Dvitiya Parata. Yeah, okay. Okay. And that's the Sweta Varaha Kalpa. Okay. Okay, so. Okay. That's interesting.
So we are in the first day of the second half.
We're in the first day of the second half. So, the first day of being 51. Nirodho shyanu shayanam atma atmanas saha shakti bihi. Nirodha refers to the merging of the jiva along with his material identity into the Lord at the time of final devastation of the universe. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.10.6. This description from the destruction from the second canto is general, since it does not include the nitya pralaya, or the continual destruction of living entities' bodies. The work is concluded. Sambandha has been indicated. This means that a general indication of the supreme entity has been given. Bhagavan, who is the topic of a discussion in the scriptures, Sambandhi, is discussed in six ways, but these have not been described. Upakama and Upa Samhara, introduction and conclusion, are seen in the Vedyam Vastavam Atarvastu, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.1.2, Sarva Vedanta Saram, Srimad Bhagavatam 12.13.12, indicates abhyasa, repetition. Atar Sarga, Srimad Bhagavatam 2.10.1, indicates apurvata, uniqueness. Vedanti Tattva Vida, Srimad Bhagavatam 1-11 indicates artavad, praise, since the topic is not dealt with in other scriptures. Shivadam tapa trayon mulanam, Srimad Bhagavatam 1-12 indicates phala, results. Dasamasya vishudhyartam, what is SBN? What's SBN?
MS.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because otherwise you might think it's a, what do you call it, what is that one? The Congress Library?
Oh, the Library of Congress?
Yeah, okay. Indicates upapati, reasoning, right? So here it says, Bhagavan, who is the topic of discussion in the scripture, Sambandhi, is discussed in six ways, right? According to the Mimamsa, you have the six aspects how you do. So, we see that you have introduction and conclusion, it's about Krishna. Right, you open with Krishna, you end with Krishna, it's all about Krishna. Then you have the substance. He's the then the repetition, it always comes back to him. Then the uniqueness, how he stands out amongst all other living entities and his devotional service. Then artavad, then there's the praise of the Lord and his glories. Then indicate the results, how you can go back to Godhead, and the reasoning, then it shows you know logically how the different things work. Does that make sense? So this is how you understand what's the main subject, or what's the important subject. That it's dealt with in the opening and closing of the work. It is then what's repeated. It is what is logically explained. It is what is praised, and what the uniqueness of it is brought out. Right? And also what's the benefit. No. That's Anubandha Chatushtha is part of that. Means that's the opening. This is called the Tatparyalingas. Right? So there's six of that. So in the Tatparya Lingas, then within that you have the opening, the introduction and conclusion. Now within the introduction, that itself, because it also describes basically everything, then it's called Anubandha Chuchushtaya, because it's explaining those things. Does that make sense? So taking that, what's in the introduction and the conclusion, then from that, then you'll look and see now what's praised, what is brought out, the benefit of it, what is the uniqueness of it, what's repeated, and what is logically explained. Then you can understand that's the topic, because it's been mentioned there, and then you see the breadth of it and the depth of it. And that. Is that okay? Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushan. In the previous list from the second canto, liberation or mukti was one of the items. Mukti called Atyantika, Laya, is included in the four types of destruction in this list, right? So they're trying to show there's no contradiction. That's the whole point, because otherwise, from our point of view, we'll have a tendency to look for contradiction. Why will we do this? Because when we do this, that means we put the emphasis on the difference between things. Right? And so the difference between things, then that means then, you know, we as an individual, then we can take advantage of all these other things that are different. Right? But ultimately it's that because everything's different from the Lord. And so therefore that's why we can take advantage. So we don't like to actually see how it all is connected and there is no inconsistencies, because if there's no inconsistencies, then it basically points out this is what we need to do. And we don't want to do that. Yes.
So that's why you see all the Monday scholars, they always look for contradiction. And
of course.
The devotees, they always try to unify. To see the
unity. Yes. That's why that's trying to find knowledge through the modern academic method will be incomplete. Because all they can do is see differences. You know, in this text it says this, and in this text it says that. You know, in here it says and there it says also. You know, so it's difference, the world's falling apart. You know, it's like, you know. And he came. He also came. Yeah. Like that. So, that gives them something to say, something to do. Because they don't want to come to conclusion, because conclusion means it's about the Lord. So that's why we see is when we look at it from ours, we'll see the difference. When we look at it from Krishna's, we see the same. Remember before they were talking about the micro and the macro views. So from the micro view, then we look from the jiva and compare everything there because we can relate. But you have to keep going till you get to the macro. And then when we look at it from the macro, we find we're quite insignificant in the overall thing. Right? So from Krishna's view, everything's him. From our view, we'll see all the difference. But these two go on simultaneously. It's not one or the other. Right? Or this one, you know, or that one. It's the simultaneous. The sleeping jiva refers to the jiva endowed with the remainder of unexperienced karmas. Earth becomes a pot endowed with name and shape, rupa. The elements can be perceived without the presence of the effect, the pot. Understanding, so you can see the elements without the pot. It means we can see earth without seeing a pot. Right? Understanding Atma and becoming detached, the person becomes qualified for meditating on the Lord. Vamanadeva saw Paramatma when he was in the womb. Devahuti performed the Bhakti Yoga. Does that make sense? So it's Vamadeva.
Who is this person?
He is the one who saw Paramatma when he was in the womb. He's that one. Right? Vamanadeva was the one born to Devahuti. I mean, Aditi. Aditi. Somebody up there. Right? The next book. Okay. How many parts are there?
Three parts.
Oh, okay. Serious. Here ends the Tattva Sandarbha, the first among the Sandarbhas, which use Bhagavatam as their source, and which arise from the expert instructions of Rupa and Sanatana Goswamis, most revered members of the assembly of the best Vaishnavas in the universe. Following the lotus feet of Lord Krishna Chaitanya Deva, who descended to distribute his worship in order to purify Kali Yuga. Sarvasambhadini.
Says that which use Bhagavatam as their source?
Yeah, all the Sandarbhas are based on Bhagavatam. Yes, means that you can basically take it as a thematic study of Bhagavatam. Right? That's why we don't try to make any our own thematic studies, because it will always be missing something. Use the Acharyas. And then if we can understand that, then we'll actually understand. Does that make sense? We make our own up, it makes sense to us now, but what happens if we're more advanced? Will it be enough? Right? So their system, then that is, it's perfect up through prema. Well, the other ones, that'll be, you know, they're good today. Okay. Sarva Sambhadini. Iti indicates the conclusion. Vibhajana means giving. Rupan Sanatana are the objects, bhajan, of respect, sabdajana, shabhajana, in the assembly, shabha, of the best, raja. A Vaishnava is in the universe, Vishra, right? Vishra, Vaishnava, Raja, Sabha, right? The Sandarbhas arise from the expert words of instruction, or orders, Anu, Shashana, Bharati, Garabhe, of Rup and Sanatana. Right? So it's coming by there. So people may say, oh, this is all Gyan, but it's coming from Rup and Sanatana. So. Srila Baladeva Vibhushan. The Sandarbhas contain words, Bharati, of instruction, Anushasana, of Rupa and Sanatana, who are the objects of worship, Sabhajana, in the royal assembly of Vaishnavas in the universe, right? So the Rajya Sabha, and who follow the feet of Lord Krishna Chaitanya, so he is the Rajya, right? Purified Kali Yuga, who appeared as avatar with the goal of spreading Vibhajana, his worship, right? So even we see the title ISKCON is based on this point right here. Vidyabhushana has written this commentary on Tattva Sandarbha concerning with text written by Jiva Goswami. May it be purified by the devotees. Sorry.